John 4:7-21. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us. In this way, God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but for that he loved us and sent his Son to be atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son and the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the abiding God. So we know and believe that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have seen. The commandment that we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also.
Thank you, Johnny. Thanks, Johnny. At the very center of Christianity, as we just heard, as we talked about last week, is love. The very beating heart of our faith is love. Everything we believe, everything we teach, everything we hope for and pray for is, at the end of the day, an expression of love. Everything Jesus teaches, all of Christian ethics, the very purpose of the church is love. Love of God, love of self, love of neighbor, love of enemy, love of stranger, love of all creation. It is that simple and that demanding. As we continue our exploration of what the church is, what the church is supposed to be, what is most essential to who we are and what we are to do, we are going to look again this morning at love. But today we're going to look at one specific kind of love. The love that we have for each other. The love that we share for one another in the church. The ethics of Christianity pushes us out towards love of all, towards love of stranger, towards the outcast and the hurting. It is the utmost importance that we understand this. Christian love is not content to only love the insiders, but pushes us always out towards the margins. However, there is also a special command to us to love one another. There is a unique and specific expectation that inside the church, we love each other. That while we are working for the good of the whole world, we are also loving and caring for one another. And maybe that sounds like it's intention. Do we focus our energy on caring for one another inside the church, on our needs and our wants and our preferences? Or do we spend our energy caring for those who are outside of the church, for their needs, wants, preferences? It might sound like it's intention, and sometimes, maybe often, it is. But it doesn't have to be. Or rather, it can be a good kind of tension, the kind of tension that can spark creativity, the kind of tension that keeps us on our toes, that pushes us to dig deeper into our capacity for love. When it works well, the love and care that we show each other inside the church empowers us to love those in need outside the church. And the love we give for those outside the church inspires and energizes us to love each other better inside. Just as, in our own lives, we learn to love ourselves in part through loving others, and we sustain our love for others by learning to love ourselves. Love does not diminish as it is given away. It multiplies. But, as I said, this morning we are focusing on the love that exists inside the church. This morning we are focusing on the command that Jesus says that we have to love one another. This morning we are focusing on what it looks like to love each other inside the church. We have, as we know, some important and difficult conversations ahead of us as a Christian community, as a church, and they will only really work if they are grounded in love. So what does it look like to love one another inside the church? What does it look like to love one another in Christian community? How do we show love to each other in our coming conversations? Love in Christian community, love in conversation, I believe, begins with listening. It means truly listening to what each other has to say. This is much harder and much rarer than it sounds. Love-filled listening takes curiosity. We don't tend to listen well when we have already made up our minds. To truly listen to someone, we must be open to the possibility that we could learn something new. We must be open to the possibility that we don't have all the answers, that we could be surprised. To truly listen to somebody, we must believe that it is possible that we could change our minds. I know, sounds crazy, right? In our contemporary American culture, we do not change our minds. It is seen as weakness or something, I don't know. But being open to having our minds changed is how we love each other in Christian community. Love-filled listening also takes patience. It almost always takes people longer to say what they want to say than it does for us to think we know what they're going to say. You know what I'm saying? We all do it. We listen to someone only long as it takes for us to assume we know where they're going. We immediately judge whether we agree or disagree with them, and then we start thinking about how we're going to reply or what we're going to have for lunch, depending on how interested we are in the conversation. But loving listening listens all the way to the end. Now, loving communication also asks us to not dominate conversations with our many, many words, but we're talking about listening right now, so we'll get to that later. Loving listening takes patience and endurance to listen to all of what someone is trying to say, whether we think we agree with them or not. Loving listening takes empathy. It takes understanding. It takes intentionality. Love-filled listening means actively trying to hear the intention behind what someone is saying, trying to hear the heart of what they're saying, even when they don't say it perfectly, because none of us do. Loving listening is at the heart of loving one another well, and we're not always that great at it, which makes sense. We have almost no examples of this in our outside lives. Our culture is filled with terrible communication practices. People do not listen to each other well. People do not hear each other well. Social media, YouTube, podcasts, TikTok, cable news, sports media are nothing but people talking without listening. Our society is filled with people talking without listening. Talking without listening, as if being loud and opinionated without ever really listening to voices that disagree with us, that somehow makes us brave. It is communication without love, and it needs to be different with us. And yes, I am fully aware of the potential hypocrisy of someone who gets up every week and says a monologue to a group of people, complaining about blowhards on the media. All I can say is that I hope that I have shown that I am open to listening to feedback when it is communicated in loving ways. I know I'm not perfect at this. As always, I am preaching to myself as I am to you. Listening is hard for all of us, really hard. And even that, I will admit that I'm not always the best example of patient, loving listening. I get fixated on my own ideas sometimes, just like everyone else, and it interferes with my ability to listen. This is, like I said, one of these areas where I'm asking you all to get better at something that I, too, need to get better at. In our last meeting, I thought we as a group did a really good job of listening to each other. So let's keep that up. Let's build upon that. Listening to each other well over these next several months is perhaps the most important way that we can show love to each other. And I think we can do it. The second way we can show love for each other over these next several months has to do with what we are listening for. We are not just listening to each other's ideas, although we should do that. We're not just listening to each other's opinions, although we should do that as well. I want to suggest that we are listening to each other, to what our hearts are saying. Listening to each other's needs, each other's pains, each other's stories, just for the sake of hearing the story. Because when we share, when we communicate, we're not just sharing to try to get our way. That's like the least generous way to hear someone. We are sharing because we want to be heard. We are sharing because we want our feelings, our ideas, our histories to be acknowledged. We share to feel understood. This is something that I've learned over and over and over again, not just as a pastor, but also as a husband and a father and a friend. Sometimes, actually most of the time, I think, we share simply because we want to be heard. We're not asking anyone to do anything about it or fix it. We're not trying to get anything out of anyone. We just need to be heard. It's like part of what makes us feel human. So one of the most important ways that we can show love to one another is not just listening with patience and intention, but listening to each other's hearts. It's a privilege when someone shares with us. The loving thing to do is treat it as such. The next thing I want to say about the love that we have for one another, and this harkens back to last week, is that it is not a love based on how we feel. It is a love that we choose to have for one another because we are in Christian community together. Maybe there's someone here that kind of bugs you and has for years. Raise your hand if that's true. I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. Maybe there are folks here that you routinely disagree with, or you just don't like the way they make the points they make, or you have some history with them that none of us know about, or you just don't like the sound of their voice. I don't know. We're all human. And sometimes our idiosyncrasies bump up against each other in unhelpful ways. Here's the deal. None of that matters. We don't love each other here because we like each other. We do. But even if we didn't, that's not why we love each other. We don't love each other here because we feel like it. Love in Christian community is not something we feel, it is something we choose. We choose to love each other because we are in Christian community together. Whether to like it or not, here we are. And again, this is hard. We have almost no models of this in the world around us. The world around us tells us to love only those who meet our needs. The world around us tells us to love only those around us who are like us, who agree with us, who vote like we do and live like we do and look like we do and act like we do. It is very hard for us to love people that we wouldn't, on our own accord, choose to spend our time with. But here's the good news. Really, finally, after 2 weeks, here's the good news. All of this love that I'm asking us to do, all of this love for each other, for the stranger, for our enemies, for creation, it doesn't just come from our own capacity to love. As Johnny read, as the scripture tells us, we love because God first loves us. The love that we offer others is the love that overflows from the love we first experience from God. So if all of this loving sounds really, really hard, that's because it is. On our own, we can't do it. And not to sound too preachy, but what is impossible for us is possible with God. If you don't know if you can listen with patient love, if you don't think you can love someone you may not even like, if you don't think you can stay in the conversation loving one another when things get hard, you're right. You can't on your own. The answer isn't just to try harder. The answer is to spend more time drawing close to God. The answer is to focus on God's love for each of us, in whatever way that works best for us. Because here's the truth I believe more than I believe anything about anything. God loves you. Right now, just as you are, you don't have to do anything or say anything to earn God's love. You just are. So what we have to do, all we have to do, is let the love that God has for us overflow towards each other. It's that simple. How will we know when we've done it? How will we measure our success? Well, this too is actually pretty simple according to the reading, but it is surprising. When we let the love God has for us fill us up to the point of overflowing to those around us, we won't be afraid anymore, is what Jesus tells us. We won't be afraid of the future. We won't be afraid of not getting our way. We won't be afraid of what comes next. We will accept that what will be, and we will find peace. Because love, perfect love, God's love, active, listening, non-judgmental love drives out all fear. And not just fear, but shame, guilt, any idea that we don't measure up or have failed in some ways. You see, God loves us, not just as individuals, but as a Christian community. God loves Underwood Memorial Baptist Church. Loves our history and our present. Understands our struggles and our failures. And loves us through them all. God is well pleased with us. We don't have to prove anything to anyone. Not even to ourselves. All we have to do is just love one another as best as we can. Accept God's love for us and let that love overflow to one another and to others. That's it. Amen.